Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Sable Logistics Quarter One 2019 results call. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Following the presentations, there will be a question and answer session. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Pierre Benesch. Go ahead, please, Chairman.
Thank you, Patricia. Good day and welcome, everyone. I'm Pierre Benesch, Senior Vice President, Investor Relations at SEVA. We're pleased to host today's first quarter 2019 results conference call. Regarding the materials for this call, we published a press release yesterday evening and the presentation slides on the SEVA Investor website earlier today. As always, elements of this presentation are forward-looking and are based on our best view of the world and our business available today. I refer you to our complete safe harbor statement at the end of our Q1 financial results press release and at the end of this presentation for all details. For today's call, we have our CEO, Xavier Urbain, and our CFO, Serge Corbel. I'll now turn the call over to Xavier.
Thank you, Pierre, and good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So, first, key highlights. So, revenue declined by 5.1% year over year, mainly due to negative impact from the Forex. And in constant currency, revenue increased by 1.1%. So, I will comment it a little more later on, but with very good volumes in ocean freight and lower volumes in air. Net debt down by 43.2%, so close to 1.266 billion, so which is a consequence of the IPO, such as it was expected, and Pierre Serge will explain later on the impact in terms of financial expenses. Adjusted EBITDA, 47 million. Something to be commented here is the fact that by security we took a provision of $10 million additional for Italy. However, I can say that now we are well on track to fix it, and it's more, I will say, a security for the company than I will say a real need to do it now. In terms of business development, we have definitely a very strong momentum here, and we are injecting new names, new customers day over day, which is also a very strong sign, positive sign for the future. CMA-CGM PTO, as you know, resulted by 97.89% in the 8th of April 2019, and now we are above 98%. That means we'll go for the squeeze out in order to delist Sable Logistics in the next coming months from the Swiss stock market, and we expect to finalize that in October, November 2019. Going to the page four, so the acquisition of CMA CGM Logistics, CCLog, so the closing date is planned for the 2nd of May. The integration plan is fully ready to be implemented. We expect to inject $630 million EBITDA revenue and $16 million EBITDA. This integration will help us to increase our footprint in China, India, Australia and USA, and also in some African countries where Sable Logistics is not fully implemented. We expect also to integrate from this deal 170,000 TEUs and VOCC, which will help us to achieve our target of 1 million TEUs, which was planned to be achieved for 2020, and we expect to achieve it now for 2019. In parallel, we will increase definitely the volumes on LCL, And also, we will increase our volumes from the rail part from China to Europe or Europe to China, and also some additional products such as the advanced hub in the low labor cost countries. In terms of business development, very positive momentum. In terms of wins, we are 12% higher than last year, Q1 2018. What is also important, following the IPO, we disclosed that the IPO will help us to reopen doors which were closed for us because our balance sheet, and definitely now it's working very well with some key customers, where we are definitely where we were on the blacklist. Now we have definitely great opportunities with these customers, more or less all of them. In addition, we are also winning a lot of new names, new customers, from the different verticals such as automotive, of course, where we are very strong, but also consumer retail, e-commerce, technology, industrial. We reinforced a lot the healthcare vertical with a new team, and we have also here now a very strong pipeline. Our target for the healthcare sector is to go from something close to $300 million today to $1 billion in 3 to 4 years' time maximum. In terms of cross-selling with CMA, we are also developing it very seriously. We won already some nice businesses from CMA and with their direct customers, BCOs. We have now a pipeline which is close to $177 million. This pipeline will go up to 250 in the next coming months, and we expect to win, to have a hit rate on this pipeline close to 30-35%, which is more or less where we are today. So excellent hit rate, very positive momentum in terms of cross-selling, and now with some key customers from CMA, we have also, I will say, some interesting opportunities in terms of ability to develop end-to-end supply chain. Going to the business update. So such as I said before, air was weak in terms of volumes, mainly because the Transpac trade lane, where we are very strong, so the business went down in volumes from Americas to Asia or Asia to Americas. So we have been badly impacted here. But the second point is also, which is an important topic, we grew in terms of shipments versus last year significantly in air. However, the weight per shipment is going down. So we start to see definitely some more switch from air to ocean. And the start up of the year, 2019, in Jan and Feb, has been very, very low. And we got, it wasn't why the rates went down significantly. And as a consequence, our net revenue per ton in air went up significantly too. So $806 per ton, which is definitely a great achievement versus what we got in Q in 2018. In terms of ocean, it's total inverse. We grew more than the market, plus 6.2%, with a much better yield also, to $288 per TU. And we are developing all the key trade lanes. And in parallel, such as for air, our productivity is going up between 3-4% for both air and ocean. So our DOE per file, direct operating expenses per file, is going down, productivity is going up, yield is going up, ocean volumes are going up, air volumes went down, but due to the wins that we did in Q1, we expect to turn it positively starting from June 2019. In terms of ground, mainly the US, so we have still some, some small hit. Definitely, it is much better than last year, but we expect to increase the prices. We are increasing the prices again, and we expect to get $10 million impact here. We got already $5 million approvals for it, and doing that, we will go back on our forecast for ground transport in the U.S. Also, FM, VAS, working very well. 50% better in terms of EBITDA point of view versus last year, and is growing, and EBITDA is also better day over day. In terms of now, such as I said before, in terms of yield, you can see here the evolution of the net revenue per ton from air, moving from Q1 2018, 789 versus 806. In March, it was much higher. It was 828. But for the average for the year, for the quarter is 806. So great improvement, and we don't believe that the rates will go up significantly the next coming months. That means we'll be able to keep a good net revenue per ton. Same for ocean. Coming back on the right area, 288 versus Q1 2018, 303, and good improvement in volumes. In contract logistics, so we got some hit from last year because we did some restructuring in terms of business portfolio. So we stopped some customers where we had a very low margin. When I say low margin, that means negative EBITDA, and we got the impact for Q1, of course. However, we have been able to mitigate part of it by some volume increase with existing contracts, but also by new business. And definitely, we will see the impact, more positive impact these next coming months, because as you know well, in logistics, you need between 6 to 9 months before to see the positive impact from the new wins, and will start to go up in the next coming months. On top of this, such as I said before, we took a provision of $10 million additional for Italy, not because we have to do it, because we wanted to create an additional security for it. And we did also hear some great improvements. We are very close to finalize the deal and the price increase with one of the two key customers, which are definitely impacted by this provision. And normally, it will be done today. For the second one, we are in a court, and the judgment will be done on the 15th of May. But now we are much more on the favorable way to go for a positive judgment in favor of SEVA. So great improvements. Great improvements in terms of price increase that we expect to sign very quickly now with one of them. Great improvement in terms of productivity. We released 160 people in Q1. We will release 85 people additional in Q2. We fixed a lot of operational issues, starting with the reverse logistics. All KPIs are green, and we don't pay any more penalties to the customers about the KPIs. So, I am very optimistic regarding what will happen in the next coming weeks and months regarding the publishing part in Italy. NG-CEVA, despite the fact that the automotive market is not going up so much, big impact in Q4 2018 and small impact in Q1 2019. The revenue is still up by 13.2%, driven by the automotive division because aftermarket and some new wins in ground transport. And also, we start to see a very positive momentum in terms of pipeline and additional wins, new names from non-automotive division. And doing that, we are very confident that we'll be able to deliver the top-line improvements such as we plan for the year 2019, both in terms of gross revenue and EBITDA point of view. Now, Serge will comment on the financials.
Thank you, Xavier. So, on slide 12, you have the group P&L for the first quarter of 2019. And so you see here that the revenue has gone down by 5.1%. This is again mainly related to FX. On a, let's say, constant FX basis, we would have gone up by 1.1%. The EBITDA margin itself went down by 17 million, from 53 million to 36 million. And as indicated by Xavier, the 36 million takes into account 10 million additional, let's say, costs for additional provision for the Italian contracts. On the net result basis, we are moving from -67 million to -34 million, so a 33 million improvement, which relates mainly to the net finance expense reduction that you see going down from 76 million to 31 million, an improvement of 45 million. Now, we have given an indication of the IFRS 16 impact because this is how our accounts will be published now moving on. So there is an operating impact depreciation of 98 million on the EBITDA. Operating expenses are improved by 98 million, which means that former rentals, etc., are taken out of operating expenses and considered now as depreciation and amortization on one side, 92 million, and finance expense, 10 million. There is a negative impact of 4 million. This negative impact will slowly disappear along the years, and the impact will, of course, be neutral overall. Moving on to slide 13, results on freight management, which have already been sort of commented by Xavier, but a recap here. You see that revenue is going down by 0.7%, but on a constant FX basis, we would have gone up by 3.8%. And there is a pretty strong contrast between air and ocean. Air went down by 7.1% through the mechanism Xavier has described of lower consignments, smaller consignments, on ocean, we have an increase of 8.7%. Overall, the EBITDA margin is moving from 1.9% to 1.6%, from 15 million to 13 million over the quarter. On the contract logistics, moving on to slide 14, we see that we have a downward trend, 8.7% in terms of revenue. This is the work we're doing on taking care of all the low margin contracts. Even at FX, stable FX, we would have gone down by 1.1%. EBITDA is going down by 15 million, but out of the 15 million, you have the 10 million, which relates to Italy, which has been taken into account. Had it not been taken into account, we would have seen an EBITDA margin of 3.7% for the quarter 2019. Results of Engie Seva, also Xavier has given a hint of where we stood here. Our share of EBITDA is moving from 13 million to 11 million on Q1 2019. And of course, Engie Seva accounts will also be impacted by IFRS 16. We anticipate an impact of 2 million for our share, 4 million overall. We are on the slide 16 looking at the specific items affecting EBITDA. So we have no more restructuring cost. As a general discipline, we want restructuring and all these things to go as much as possible into the direct P&L and no longer use the proxy of specific items to cover these items. We still have costs from banks from the, let's say, the restructuring of 2018, so that at the end of the day, our specific items and share-based compensation moves from 7 million to 16 million. On the cash flow side, slide 16, what we see here is that we have, of course, EBITDA after specific items and share-based compensation is moving from 46 to 20 million, of which 10 million are relating to the Italian situation. We what The main thing in this cash flow here is the improvement in change of working capital. You see that we were hit last year with a negative figure of 122. We've been very active in the Q1 2019 to make sure that collections were as good as possible, and we've improved this by 68 million, which at the end of the day, you see impacting the free cash flow from -130 million to -88 million, an improvement of 42 million at the end of the quarter. Net working capital seen from another angle, which is the percentage of net working capital compared to the turnover. What you see on the dark red line for 2019 is that we're trying to stabilize the movements from quarter to quarter. The variation between the -2.2 end of 2018 and end of March 2019 is only of 0.7%, whereas in the previous years, we had much stronger variations from quarter to quarter. This, of course, has also translated in the 68 million improvement, which we have seen on the previous slide. On the debt refinancing. On the debt refinancing, part of the debt was, all of the debt had change of control clause. Part of it was treated through going directly to the debt holders. This is the case for senior revolving credit facility. Here we have gone to the banks, and we have had the approval of nine of the 11 banks for the change of control. On the other, the upper and the lower part, the 475 million and the 300 million, CMA has gone into a backstop financing covering both these facilities for 825 million. In parallel, we have gone onto the market. First stage was to refinance the term loan, which was done somewhere in February, and we're currently considering what we'll be doing on the 300 million senior notes. Moving back to you.
Thank you, Serge. As a quick summarize, first of all, in March, without the 10 million provision, additional one that we put for Italy, we achieved a black number in term of net profit after tax.
On the month of March.
On the month of March. Which is definitely a great achievement because the company did not do that or very rarely, the last, I will say, 12 years. Despite the fact that we have been weak in term of air volumes, March number has been a black number for net profit after tax. Second point, as you know, we have a plan to achieve $470 million-$490 million adjusted EBITDA for 2021. As a pure SEBA EBITDA, $410 million-$430 million. We addressed 10 important action plans, which are definitely well on track, and we have to improve our results versus the IPO numbers by 160 million. We already identified for 70 million in Q1 2019. When I say identified, that means we are implementing it, and just for Q1. Great improvement, and I am very confident that we'll be able to achieve these numbers, or we'll be able to achieve better numbers. In term of sales, I will say tick in the box, strong momentum, and our target is to also to exceed 5% top line improvement, and we are on track to do it. Last point, and not the least, is we are now putting in place an operating center in Marseille, where we will have our financial department and some key functions. Of course, will not be will not be the CMA tower. It will be an independent office. As you know well, we want to protect as much as possible our arm's length agreement, which is honestly working very well with the ocean carriers, with Maersk, MSC, Costco, and so on. And today we are developing the business with them, of course with CMA, but in some parts of the world more with CMA competitors than with CMA directly. So I will say everything is well on track, still a lot of work to be done, but we, again, regarding where we are today and regarding what we want to achieve in terms of numbers for the end of the year, we are on track to do it. Thank you.
Patricia, can you ask if there's any questions, please?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're starting the question and answer session now. If you have a question or remark, please press star 1 now on your telephone. Star 1 for questions or remarks. Go ahead, please. Ladies and gentlemen, star 1 for questions or remarks. Go ahead, please. Ladies and gentlemen, you can press star 1 at any time for a question or remark. Go ahead. We have no questions at this time.
Okay, so if no questions, so thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen. And I think we have someone. Yes, sorry.
We have a question now from Mr. Greg Knoller, JOC. Go ahead, please. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. You mentioned... hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, you mentioned with the operating center in Marseille, and it's going to be completely independent. You've got to try to run it independently. And I think you said that you were with MSC and Maersk as well for SIBA. Was that correct?
Yeah, it's... okay, so... the plan was for SEVA, as SEVA, to create an operating center in Switzerland, okay, because we are listed in Switzerland. Now, due to the 98%, we will go for a delisting of the company on the Swiss stock market, which will take place in October, November. So we will put in place this operating center in Marseille. And a major part of the team will go to Marseille, is more or less done, to be honest. And we will have an independent office because SEVA will stay independent in terms of management point of view from CMA CGM. On top of it, we have an arm's length agreement with CMA CGM because in ocean freight, there are no questions to work just with CMA. We can't do it and we'll never do it. So we continue to work with their competitors, such as MSC, Costco, Maersk, and all the others. And we continue to develop the business with these companies, outside the fact that SEVA is controlled by CMA CGM.
Okay, great. Great. If I could ask one more question, if you have time.
Yeah. Sorry?
Do you have time for one more question?
Yes, go ahead, please.
One of the areas where where SEVA did well in the first quarter was in ocean freight volume, and I see from the Americas was one of those areas. And I've noticed that some of the other forwarders as well are doing very well with volumes coming out of the Americas. Can you maybe just elaborate a bit more on that and where exactly in the Americas that volume is coming from?
So I would say we have good development from Americas, but also from Europe and from Asia. In Americas, the development is coming from LATAM, starting with Brazil, Peru, Colombia, Argentina. And also from the U.S. So such as I said before, we start to see some switch from air to ocean because the cost of air are definitely much higher than ocean. So, and we got the benefits of it. On top of it, we won a lot of new names, new customers in Ocean, and definitely we are developing it very well. So we won some key customers in the US, for example, in automotive, and in consumer retail. And we are developing, the trade lanes from the US to the US, Europe, and Asia.
Great. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any further questions or remarks, you can still press star 1 at any time on your telephone. Star 1 for questions or remarks. Go ahead, please. We have no further questions, sir. Please continue.
Okay, so thank you for your time. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good day and speak to you soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes this conference on behalf of CEVA Logistics. Thank you for attending. You can disconnect.